Good morning. Today we're going to look at basically the greatest story ever told. There was a movie of that title and that topic years ago. I think it was way back in the 60s. But I loved, I still do, loved hearing stories. My dad would tell me stories at night, and I loved it if there was pictures involved, and he'd show me the pictures. This is absolutely the greatest story that man knows. It is the story of the Bible, and it is told from cover to cover. It is the story of God. It is the story of God's love for us. There are some good points. There are some bad points. There are some scary points. But it is the greatest story ever told. On your outline, it is just a list of scriptures. Kind of doing things a little bit different today. Instead of having, maybe a graphic, a map, picture, something like that. We got some pictures that tell the story. I've got the scriptures listed. They're right there on your outline if you choose to read along. Oh, that doesn't show up very good against that. Genesis 1. God created the heavens and the earth. In chapter 1, God created. That's enough to know everything I need to know. There's a lot of questions we have. Times, places, how, this and that. We know that God, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. In Genesis chapter 1, we see that creation. And God spoke the world into existence. Everything he created. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Verse 26, "And let us make man in our image." He spoke it. The power of the Word of God. And then in Romans 1:20, Paul is saying the same thing to the Romans. Paul is not talking to the Romans using a lot of Old Testament scripture. He's using things that would reach them. Logic, common sense, the authority, the power of Jesus. And in verse 1:20 says, "From since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen." Just looking around, you don't ever have had the Bible read to you to realize there is God. Amen. You look around at God's creation and you see clearly. It says they are clearly seen. And it goes on to say, so that they are without excuse. They are without excuse. They can't say, "Well, I didn't know there was a God." They might say, "Somebody didn't preach to me," but there is no, "Well, I didn't know there was a God," because God is clearly seen in this world that He created that is around us every day. He created a beautiful, wonderful world for us. And then the bad set in. Sin. It's dark. It's ugly. There's nothing funny about sin. The world will portray it on TV or in different ways as lighthearted. Oh, boys will be boys. The young people got to sow their wild oats. There is nothing funny about sin. It is dark, it is ugly, and it separates us from God. Romans 3:23 is an eye-opening scripture that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. God had created us to glorify Him, but we chose, man has chosen not to. All have sinned. That's an eye-opening statement there. I understand there's sin in the world. I can remember back as a teenager, when this fully soaked in, I knew I wasn't perfect, but I thought I was a pretty good guy. I thought I was in a right relationship. I believed in God. I prayed. But through teaching, I realized I've got sin in my life, and it separates me from God. And it gets worse. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. That's going to be the end result. Not only are we separated from God, we will be separated for eternity from God. Romans 14:12 says, Paul is writing to the Romans again, that we must all give an account. And that account, because of sin, is not going to be good. It's getting ugly. But the good news, John 3:16, one of the first verses I think people are ever exposed to in the Bible. These two verses, the very definition of grace. The very definition. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world may be saved through Him. That's grace. Amen. God wouldn't be God if He let sin slide. He is just. And because He is just, He has to punish sin. But He loved us so much, so much, that He paid the debt we could not pay. He paid it Himself with His Son. And that cost was high. In Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, Paul is writing and he says, for while we were still without strength, in due time, like Daryl was talking in the scripture reading today, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man one would die. Yet perhaps for a good man one would dare die. But God demonstrates His own love toward us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The very definition of grace. Nothing we could have done to merit that gift. I heard years and years ago a preacher, and it sunk in with me, a preacher kind of giving a comparison. You're out in the middle of the Pacific Ocean, and you're floundering around. You're drowning. You're going under for the third time. There's nothing you could do. You couldn't swim far enough to save yourself. Nothing you could do. And you're thrown a life ring. You're thrown the life ring. Now, there's nothing we could have done or deserve that life ring. But if we don't take it, we're still going to drown. by grabbing it. People say, oh, you can't work your way to heaven. You know, you're talking about works. There's nothing we could do. God provided the gift. But if we don't take advantage of it, God has given us the access to be saved. We still have to reach for the ring. How do we do that? How do we come into contact? How do we take advantage of what God and Jesus did for us? It comes through the Word of God. Romans 10:17, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. No one has ever been saved a separate and apart from the Word of God.
Amen.
2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Paul is writing to Timothy and he says, all Scripture is inspired, is by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. I don't get it how the people can say that they doctrine is for you different than doctrine for me. There is such a thing as doctrine. It is the Word of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. Why? That the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. That's the Word of God. That's how we get to God, is through His Word. You've got to believe it. You have a choice. Life is about choices. Life is about decisions we make. Once we've heard the Word of God, we have the choice to believe it or not. Jesus says in John 8:24, that unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. Believe that I am He, of course you're who you are. Of course you're Jesus. I've seen you before, of course. No, unless you believe that I am He, who is He? The Son of God. Mm-hmm. Unless you believe that He is the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior, the Messiah, the sacrifice, you will die in your sins. Not just believe that He is Jesus of Nazareth, but Jesus, the Son of God. We've got to believe that. And we have to believe it based on a decision. Not just because grandma did. Not just because I believe what I do because I did it last week. Or my family for four generations have believed it because I believe it. And because I have made that decision because of the Word of God. Love this picture. The picture makes me happy. Why do I have the picture up there? Because I like it. Case closed. I like it. Matthew 10:32. Jesus says that we have to confess Him. He says, if you confess Me before men, I will confess you before My Father who's in heaven. I want Him going to God on my behalf.
Amen.
I love telling people. But He goes on to say in the very next verse, if you don't confess Me, I won't confess you before My Father. Mm-hmm. We have to confess Him. We just don't keep it. Just having a mental acknowledgement that Jesus is the Son of God and died for me, that's not good enough. We have to tell people about it. We have to not only share it, but be brave enough and it mean enough to us to stand up and share it. That's why when people come forward to be baptized, we take their public confession because we want to make sure that they're having the opportunity to say it before men. So their God will make that confession before God. Luke 13:3, Jesus says, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. That's pretty straightforward. We have to repent. If we've heard the Word of God, we believe it, why would we continue in that path? The Word of God wants us to change. It wants us to become better people and to change the course of our life. In Acts 2:38, when Peter is preaching on the day of Pentecost, he is preaching to devout men in Jerusalem, it says earlier in the chapter. To devout men. These are people that believe in God. And in his sermon, he is preaching that this Jesus, whom you killed, was the Savior, was the Messiah. That Messiah that we have been looking for and it's been prophesied about for years, you killed him. And in verse 37, they cried, it says they were cut to the heart. And they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. Repent. Don't just keep going the same direction. Paul talks about being transformed in Romans. That we've got to change ourselves. And that's where the Word of God comes into play. It's able to change us. And you can't leave out baptism. I've had a number of discussions with some people recently about baptism. Oh, baptism is just a... Baptism is something that you do after you're saved to show people that you're saved. It's what saves you. It's what saves you. Mark 16:16, Jesus. And if you disagree, take it up with him. It's not, I didn't write it. Jesus said in Mark 16:16, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. In Acts 2:38, verse we just said, Peter responded when they cried out, what must we do? Repent and be baptized. That's where we come into the contact with the blood of Christ. In Acts 8, we see a number of people obeying that command of baptism. We see the Samaritans. We see Simon the sorcerer repenting and being baptized. We see the Ethiopian eunuch that as Philip is preaching to him and as they're going over the scriptures at the tail end of Acts 8 and starting in verse 35, they started at the scripture where he was and he preached Jesus to him. And as they're going down the road, he sees water. Well, here's water. What prevents me from being baptized? And Philip responded, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he believed. He made that confession. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. I believe. They stopped. They pulled the chariot over, put it in park, and they went down into the water and were baptized. In Acts 16, we see Lydia and her family being baptized and being saved. We see the Philippian jailer being baptized and saved. But that's where our walk with Jesus starts. A lot of people think, oh, you got him dunked, you got him wet, safe at third. It's not that. You got to continue. This is where our walk starts, is at baptism. We've got to continue the rest of our life. Revelation 2:10, Jesus said, remain faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of righteousness. Till death, it's an ongoing. But God, I've already served. I've already served you for so many years. And when you got to keep serving. Until death. Matthew 10:22, Jesus said, that He who endures to the end will be saved. Not close to the end. But God, I ran the race. I ran most of it. Got to go to the end. I love a story with a good ending. That if we remain faithful, a crown of righteousness will be given to us. In this greatest story ever told, there's some heartache because not everybody chooses to obey the gospel. There is some heartache in the fact that people will continue in the sin in their life. But it's about choices. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, I know if you've been here for any length of time, I know from the people that present the lessons, they preach the Word of God. You've heard the Word of God. Sound doctrine. If you have not put your Lord on in baptism, I urge you to do so today. If you need to repent of sins, there's no better time than right now. You cannot believe in God and continue in the path of sin and be considered a Christian. You've got to repent. If you need the prayers of this congregation, we offer up prayers constantly. The prayers of righteous people, they accomplish a lot. If you would like to identify with us, working with us here at South Valley, if you've been looking for a church home and would like to identify and work with us here, we would love to have you. We will put you to work for the kingdom. Whatever your need, if you would stand, come forward, let your needs be known, and while Kurt leads us in the invitation song.